This is the last message I will give in 2017, obviously. No inappropriately timed amens. That's good. So we all flip the calendar tomorrow, right? 2018. That leads to the question, how do you look at the new year? Are you the personality type where it's a new year, more opportunities, what are we going to get done this year? Or do you flip the calendar and say, 1 year closer to being in a hole in the ground? There are two different ways to look at it, right? We do have another year coming, and we have lots more opportunities. And a lot of people make a lot of resolutions today, your New Year's resolutions. When I was working at my old job, I used to exercise at a gym in Wadsworth. And I hated the first 2 months of every year because I called it the gym would get clogged with resoluters. Where normally you have your normal people, your normal stuff, and you have this influx of people that are just getting in your way, and oh, it'll be 2 months and they'll be gone. As we all know how resolutions go. But we should make goals. We should make resolutions. A lot of people, you know, you don't have to be saved. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to think about Jesus to make resolutions and set goals. Lots of people today are setting goals that they are going to uncover their six-pack this year. And that's an important thing. The world has been denied seeing your six-pack for how long? We need to get that thing uncovered. That's a goal. Ladies like to have organized homes. This year I'm going to organize. This year I'm going to quit smoking. This is the year where we're going to get out of debt. Lots of people make resolutions, eat healthy, travel more, those kinds of things. But and some of those goals are a waste of time, and some of them are good ideas. But a lot of people, a lot of Christians make goals regarding their Bible reading at the top of the year. We have had this tract in the back for months now. It's called A Simple Bible Reading Plan. And if you don't read your Bible, if you don't read it regularly or look at it regularly, this is not the tract for you. It actually says that right here. It says, where is it? Why do you need a Bible reading plan? If it is because you struggle to read the Bible at all, stop now. A calendar or reading plan will not be helpful to you. A lot of people have a hard time reading the Bible because they don't know where to start. Do we start at Genesis? Do we start at Revelation and go backwards? Start at the red letters? I mean, where do we go? And a lot of people struggle with that. But when you're shown how to rightly divide and you show, hey, here's the spot. This, probably about 100 pages in your Bible, this is directly to and about you almost entirely. That's a good place to start. And that's what right division teaches us. And I've had it told me that the first thing you should do is read the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a foundational book about the body of Christ. And I was taught you read the first 5 chapters 5 times. And once you have a handle on that, then you read chapters 6 through 8. Read that 5 times. And then skip 9, 10, and 11 and go on to Romans 12 and read the rest of the book. And then go through and read the whole book a few times. And until you have a handle on the material and you can see what's going on, that's the foundation. But if you are looking to do better this year, to stick with a program, to stick with a regimen on reading your Bible every day, this has a great plan in this book. You'll have to get 7 bookmarks. It splits the Bible into 7 different sections, and it goes by day of the week. You read 1 section per day, you spend about 10 minutes reading, and like this plan here has Sunday, you read Paul's book, 6 chapters. Monday, you go back and read the law, that's Genesis through Deuteronomy. And as you move along, you keep advancing your bookmarks. That way, you don't get bogged down in Levi taxes. And you just quit because it's as boring as can be. You're constantly moving around, and you can get through the Bible and read that. So that is something that I would recommend, if that's something that you want to do this year, to have a look at. But as far as setting goals, we're flipping the calendar, we're going 2017, 2018, setting goals. Are Christians supposed to do that? Are Christians supposed to make plans and set goals? A lot of people don't. A lot of people, I'm just going to see what God does for me this year. Okay, what's that mean? God's going to come down and push you into a new job, or push you over here, or make you do that, or give you a sign from heaven? What are you talking about? So a lot of Christians don't make goals, and they bounce from circumstance to circumstance and wonder why they feel so lost and they're not getting anything done. We should set goals. As far back as the book of Daniel, you remember when Daniel was taken into captivity? Daniel looked at his situation and decided ahead of time, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. He's a servant of the king. I'm not going to eat that defiled meat. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Look over at the book of Acts in verse 19. You have a will. You have knowledge, hopefully, of what God's will for your life is to some degree or another. You can make plans. Acts 19:21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Paul's making plans. I'm done here. I'm moving on. I'm going to go to Macedonia. I'm going to go to Achaia. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. After all that, I'm going to circle back to the capital of the empire. How'd that work out for him? Did he ever make it to Rome? Yeah, he made it to Rome. He was a prisoner, and he died there. So he had plans. Sometimes the plans don't work out. But you make plans, you set goals. And that's... question is why? If you're the type that looks as a new year as another year closer to being in a hole in the ground, what's the point? Time's marching on. There's a song called Stop This Train by John Mayer, I believe. And he's talking about it's just on a train. We're all headed there. Wish we could stop it or get off. But we can't. That's a reality I hope we've accepted. I hope we've accepted the reality of our life in this world without Christ is vain. Pretty vain. You may have some good days, you may have a little pleasure, but you're going to die, just like the animals die. That's one of the things I always try to teach here is we're not in the kingdom. Jesus is not ruling and reigning the planet right now. We are in what Galatians 1:4 calls a present evil world. If you don't know about that, open any newspaper anywhere, read a page. We are in a present evil world. Ephesians 2:2 says, in time past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil's. That's the devil, folks. Prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So why is there this train that we want to get off and we can't stop? Look who's driving. The father of lies, the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the devil is the god of this world and the world is following that course. So we can't stop the train. We can't get off, physically speaking, but we can do something about it. Look over at Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 and verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So we can't stop the train, but we can be delivered from the destination. Can we not? According to the will of God the Father, we can be delivered from this present evil world, rescued out of our fate, reconciled to God, forgiven, given an inheritance in heavenly places for all eternity, where we will shine as trophies of God's grace. That's a pretty good deal. What do we do then? Look at Ephesians 5:15. Because we have that hope, because we've given that, been given that forgiveness and that deliverance, what do we do with our time? What do we do with our goals and our time? How do we prioritize? Ephesians 5:15. Well, don't be an idiot. That's the Lou Steve paraphrase of Ephesians 5:15. Don't be an idiot. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There goes your holy days, right? Every day is evil. It's run according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, the devil's the god of this world, and it's a present evil world. Therefore, the days are evil. But we can do something about it if we're saved. We can redeem the time. We can take time that would have been wasted on vanity and worthlessness and flesh and sin and death and give that time to our Savior. Wow. Think about it. Every day, if you're a flat earther, you'll get mad at me for saying this. The world, the globe is spinning day by day. Every single day, vain time wasted by billions and billions of people on sin, opposition to God. We can take our little bit and give it to God and serve Him, the actual Creator, and do something according to His will. That's a good thing. But you ask the average Christian, ask the average Christian about their 2018 New Year's resolutions. What are you going to hear if you ask the average Christian? Going to uncover my six-pack? Going to organize my home, quit smoking, get out of debt, eat healthier, travel more. Huh. So your goals are exactly the same as everybody else that's walking according to the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air that now worketh in the spirit of children of disobedience. Huh. That's interesting. What about, does that sound like Ephesians 5:15 to you? Don't be an idiot. If your New Year's resolutions match every unsaved person on the planet, Houston, we have a problem. We should be walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So how is that possible? How is it that you can test me? Ask your Christian friends, what are your 2018 resolutions? You may find one that says, oh, I want to read the Bible more. You may find one. 99 of them, the same goals as unsaved, lost people. Probably the reason for that is we have not been taught to set our affections on things above. Does anybody know where that verse is? If you don't, you just had your New Year's resolution handed to you. Memorize where that verse is. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you saved? If you are, you're risen with Christ. You're delivered from this present evil world. If that's your home, if that's what you're about, if that's where you're going, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That eliminates everything on this planet in your flesh, doesn't it? God's things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why do Christians have the same resolutions as unsaved people? Have you ever been taught to set your affections on things above in church? Maybe halfway. Maybe they took you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then you'll get all your stuff. But you've been taught to seek things down here in church. If you just give more money, why, God will open up the storehouse of blessings on you and give you stuff. Oh, just trust God and you'll get that job. Just trust God and you'll get that new car. Just trust God and you'll get your healing and you'll get that mansion. We're taught to look at our flesh and look at us in church. We're taught to be selfish in church. We're not taught, God's God, you're His servant. We're taught, you're God's foreman. You just learn how to tell God what to do all the time, and God will do what you tell Him to do. Seems a little bit backwards, right? He's God, I'm the servant of God. What do you do as a servant? I tell them what to do all day. Huh. All right. If you were my servant, you'd be fired. Set your affection on things above. With all that in mind, that was a long ado. I thought what we could do today, we're flipping the calendar, we're ending 2017, we're moving into 2018. I thought we could take this last meeting of the year and just take stock on the previous year. What we did as a body together, what we accomplished, what we learned. I'm sure many of you remember that we began 2017 having our meetings in the home of Bobblehead Jesus. Remember that? That was so long ago. That was the beginning of this year. We were in the, and there was, at one point there was probably, what, 8 or 10 of the bobbleheads they had there. Bobblehead Jesus. I had Bobblehead Trump before it was popular to have Bobblehead Trump. About 10 minutes north of here up in Uniontown. I remember looking fondly in the back, left, my left corner of the building. There was Bob Marley watching over me as I gave my lessons. And then, of course, we had the Warm Wishes of Metallica hanging on the left wall. I mean, I don't know how we've gotten on not having Metallica telling us have a good day. For those of you who may not know, we were meeting in a borrowed building. We were having our meetings on Sunday nights because it was actually a church. You never think there's a church that needs Bob Marley and Metallica and Bobblehead Jesus, but that's where we were having our meetings at. And then, many of you don't remember, at least I forgot until I sat down to think about it. Remember when we were going to sign the lease on our first building? Right up until we didn't? We've got a building. It's right around the corner. It's great. The landlord says yes, right until he changed his mind and told us to go pound sand. That happened this year. Our former meeting place, you remember when we'd walk in and the pulpit would be bedazzled with something? And there'd be lights or different decorations, and there was that, remember the squirrel? Like a squirrel with a Santa Claus outfit on? You never knew what you were going to walk into in that building. You walk like, oh, there's a boat on the stage. What do we do with the boat? I remember one time the squirrel was in, they had a big Christmas tree off to the side of the stage, and the squirrel was sticking out of the tree looking at people. It was distracting the kids. We had to put the squirrel away. But you know what? We were grateful for that place. It was a step up from where we were. We started off having our meetings in a living room. And we're having these meetings in a living room, and I kept telling everybody, we need to get out of a house. We need to get into a public place. We need to get into the marketplace of ideas. Not some, oh, they have some kind of weird church group. They meet in somebody's house. I don't know what they're talking about. Strange doctrines. We need to be out in public. And that was our first step. The home of Bobblehead Jesus and Bob Marley and Metallica. That was our first step out into public. So it wasn't the best in the world, but it was. We were grateful, and the folks there were very gracious to us and kind, and it was real cheap to have our meetings there. So that's where we started in 2017. Our meetings there, what we were talking about from the pulpit, as we finished up the year, I gave a message talking about folks who know grace, who've learned a little bit about their Bible, learned right division, they need to get out of their denominational churches. Just leave. That's what I was talking about. Get out, start your own grace group, and start teaching other people also. Since that time, I've heard, and as I reported to you a few weeks ago, there's some folks up in New England who've done exactly that. They found us in the morass of YouTube teaching and preaching, and they found us. And they learned grace a little bit, and they did exactly that. They left their denomination, and they started their own assembly. That's happened in the past few weeks. So that's a good thing. That's a great thing to know. And they're starting the same way we did, in a living room. Got to start somewhere. So that's where we began. I think we can all look around here and say the biggest change that we've had this year is moving here, to this place. We signed a lease, and they actually gave us keys. They didn't change their minds. We moved in here. That's probably the biggest thing. And we all knew that we could never get a place like this. At least I did. I knew that's just a pipe dream. You're not going to find a little white church like that that's just perfect. Never going to happen. Wasn't even looking, really. We were looking for space in an office building that was relatively cheap to have our meetings. But we came along and got this place. And I remember when we were having our first meetings in Tim's living room. And we didn't have a pulpit or anything, and they brought in some kind of a makeshift desk, and I've got, you know, you see this thing's 2 feet wide. I got my Bible, I got this, I got paper. I'm sitting here on this desk in a living room, and papers are dropping off, and I'm trying to teach a lesson, and I'm thinking, oh, if we could just find a nice little country church to meet in one day. We're here. We made it. But that was the goal. We wanted, it's not about, I want to have a church building because that's status. It's like I said, we want to have a public meeting place. We want to get this message out into the marketplace of ideas. You got two of every other denomination in the world around here. How about one Bible-believing grace assembly? Can we have that? Just one. So that was a goal. And we got to, until the wind and the cold took it down, we were the one church in the county that I know of that had a sign in public that had the gospel on it. Isn't that crazy? Not bingo Friday night. We had the gospel. How about that? So that's something we got accomplished this year. Then, remember we sent out a press release? We sent out a press release for immediate release, and you know, it was about our assembly, and we got contacted by radio stations, newspapers, TV stations, and they all had the same message for us about that press release. Would you like to buy advertising? No, I want you to give it to me for free. But there was one lady that said, I want to do a story on this little place. And somehow we end up in the newspaper. Full page almost. Crazy. Came in here, this woman's waiting for me, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm starting to get comfortable, you know, I'm doing an interview with somebody from a newspaper, and then all of a sudden the photographer shows up. For some reason, I didn't even think, oh, they're going to take pictures. Because I'm thinking, print, newspaper, print. Hey, you know there's pictures in newspapers, dummy. And this photographer's up in my face. But we got our message, our advertisement out into a major newspaper in the area. And we've had people come in because of that newspaper article. We got, you know, quite a few first-time visitors, and obviously a lot of those folks have come and not stayed, right? They came and went. I am grateful for every person that's walked in here, though, because of that. Because here's one thing I know. Every person that came into this building for a first-time meeting, they heard the gospel presented to them with clarity at least one time in their life. Usually I find a way, when I see somebody that's brand new, I'm working it in two or three times. At the beginning, at the middle, at the end. Those people at least once heard the soul-saving gospel of the grace of God with clarity one time in their life. You're the sinner. Christ is the Savior. You trust what He did. He will save your miserable soul. Not come down front, repent and be baptized, sign the card, stand on one leg, ask Jesus into your heart, make Him Lord of your life. None of that. They heard the actual gospel. So I'm grateful for that. That's something that we were able to do this year because we got into this building. So we had that. We moved here. We had the newspaper article. One of the side effects, I think, of having a building, and we have on our website, you can see the building. And you can see in our YouTube videos, there's a building. One of the side effects of people seeing this is an established group is I think that lended a bit of credibility to the message. Because as soon as we moved here, and I know I've told you guys week by week, our contact with the outside world through people sending us messages or Facebook stuff or YouTube watches has just exploded. I did the math on it. It increased 530% this year. 530% more people seeing what we're doing here. You know, it's different. When I say credibility, it's not, you know, as if we're wonderful, but it's one thing if you're one guy standing in your basement talking to a camera, but it's another thing when people see, oh, there's a building. It's an actual place you can go to. So that's increased a ton. And I think I mentioned that for every 24 hours that tick off the clock every day, 48 hours of our videos are being watched in every 24-hour period. So that's out there. Couple other things. We've paid our bills. We've had bills for the first time, and we've been able to pay our bills every single month, and we've still not ever asked anyone for a dime. We've never passed an offering plate. You've never heard, oh, we just need the money for this from the pulpit. Never. But yet we've been able to pay our bills every single month. What about the, now we have a building, now we have a property, well, what does that mean? Got to take care of it, right? Our little group has been able to handle the upkeep and care of a property this year for the first time. We never had that problem before, did we? Show up, bring in our stuff, and leave. Let them take care of it. It's their building. Now it's our building. Now we got to take care of it. We've been able to do that, and we're grateful for the grounds crew that slogged through week after week. And it's really everybody pitching in somewhere or another. You know, whether it be the taking care of the weed, you know, the fights we had with the weeds. I don't know what it is about this land. Weeds will not die here. We've had to fight with that. We had people do the landscaping around it and that kind of thing. But we've all got that accomplished together as a body for the first time. So that's something that was done. We were able to upgrade our camera and our whiteboard for the online videos. That's something else we got done. We had our first door-to-door excursions. Got our taste of that for the first time. So we went door to door, and then recently some folks went bed to bed with the gospel in the nursing home. Chapstick, was it chapstick, candy, and the gospel? All right. They took that. That's the thing. What was reported to me was there was a lot of Catholics in that hospital. And the one thing I know about Catholics is they are rarely ever presented with Christ and Him crucified, in the sense that this is the full and complete payment for your sins. Actually, what Catholics teach is they teach I'm accursed for teaching Ephesians 2:8 and 9. By grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works. So that was, we got to get the gospel to those folks. We hosted a couple events here for folks in the community. We had the homeschooling group come in here and have an event. That was, on that day, more tracks walked out of here in that one day than I think every other day put together. So that was good. We've had people, I said we've never asked for a dime from anybody. We've had people that we've never met send us money. A lot of it. Go to the post office box. Who's this? Don't know. Open the letter. It's a check. Huh? The people have identified what we're doing here as worthy and said, hey, I want to support what they're doing. Never thought that would happen. I remember the first time I, what is this? It looks like a check. But people have done that, so that's a good thing. The other change we did this year is we added a Thursday evening meeting. So we've gone from one meeting a week to two meetings a week. Why did we pick Thursday? Does anybody remember that? Well, if we're going to have a midweek service, we want to make it... This is one of the reasons. There were other reasons, but we want to have a meeting where somebody can not go to their church. If they're a church shopper, we want to have it on a day where they can come and not get caught. They can come check us out, and they won't have to be absent from their Sunday, Wednesday church, right? So we pick Thursday. And does anybody know offhand how many new visitors we've had on our Thursday evening meetings? Take a guess. 10? Close. We've made it so easy for people to come visit us on Thursdays. We've had exactly zero visitors ever come on a Thursday. All of our visitors come on Sundays. All right? So that caused us to... We had kind of split up into we'll do verse by verse on Thursday, we'll do topical messages on Sunday. But when that happened and we identified, maybe we should change up our Thursday meetings a little bit. Maybe not so much me, maybe more we. Since we're not having visitors on Thursdays, let's change up. So we changed the format of our Thursday meeting. And I got to tell you, I think the Thursday meeting is probably my favorite now over Sundays, because it's more all of us together talking and discussing. And what we've been doing is, lately we've been going through some of the materials we have on our back shelf and going through these books and talking about these things and discussing them. And sometimes we don't even get to that. Sometimes folks come in and folks just need to talk. I got this issue going on. I'm wondering about this doctrine. I had this problem in my life. How do I handle this? How do we talk about this with Scripture, with Bible? And all we do is talk about that, the whole meeting. And we build each other up. We edify each other. We pray with each other. So that's a good thing. So that's just something. I'm sure I'm missing stuff, but that's just some of the stuff that came to mind for me for our 2017 year. Those are the practical, the tangible things we can look at. We can say, yeah, we have wonderful padded blue chairs now and a nice little building. And we're trying, what's the goal? We want to establish a Bible-believing, dispensational church that's built on a Pauline foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Stark County. Now, you can find churches in Stark County that are dispensational. They try to build on a Pauline foundation, but they are not Bible believers. That's not why I'm not at those churches. There, you can find Bible-correcting dispensational Pauline churches in Stark County, but we want to be a Bible-believing dispensational church in Stark County. So, we're trying to build that. We have all these things that happened for us this year. Question is this the church? Shaking your head. Are we about building this building and cultivating this property? Is that our main goal? No. We've made it abundantly clear that we can build church in somebody's living room. We made it clear that we can build the church in the home of Bob Marley and Bobblehead Jesus, right? Our building program, you're in Colossians still, look over at chapter 1. Colossians 1:18. It's talking about Christ. And in verse 18 it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." What's the body? The body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ. Is it a building somewhere on earth? Is it a temple in Utah? No. The church, the body of Christ, is people. Right? People. Individual souls who have believed the gospel, trusted it, and have been saved, and have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is the church, which is His body. People. Look over at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. "For we are laborers together with God." Ye. Anybody know what ye means? For the NIV folks, that means all y'all. Ye. I'm talking to more than one person. So that's why you need the these and thous in your Bible. Did you know that? Thee and thou, I'm always talking to one person. In your Bible, in your King James Bible. Ye and you is talking to multiple people. Look what it says. Ye are God's husbandry. That's a farming reference. Look at the next one. Ye are God's building. Where's the church? Where are you? That's where the church is. You are God's church if you're saved. Ye are God's building. You can meet anywhere. You can have your meetings. You look back at the Pauline pattern. He's talking in houses. He's talking in synagogues. He's talking in theaters. He's talking in churches. He's talking in prisons. He has church everywhere. Why? Because he is the church. And church is wherever you're at, ministering and being ministered to. Why do I bring that up? Time's marching on, right? Our lease is up here in April. I don't know what's going to happen when our lease comes up. You can believe I'm going to do everything in my power to keep this building. Everything I can do, every string I can pull, I'm going to pull. But what if we don't have our meetings here? We've lost the church. Our church is over. No. You are the church. I am the church. Where we have our meetings is not the church. It's the place where we have our meetings. The reason I bring this up too, in order to make it really easy to keep a building, if you're a church group, you need two things. Tons of people, tons of money. We don't have either of those, do we? We don't have tons of people or money. So we're going to have to be more resourceful than the average bear. We're going to have to try to figure some things out. But what I think about, look over at 1 Thessalonians 2. You all know how thrilled I was when we got to move in here. And all of us, every time we walked in here, it's perfect! It's wonderful! But guess what? This pile of sticks and rocks and drywall is not the church. It's not what we are building. We are here to build people. Individual members of the body of Christ learning God's will, learning who God has made. First, learning what the gospel is. Getting saved. That's the first part of Timothy 2:2. God will have all men to be saved, and then come to the knowledge of the truth. Get saved, find out who you are in Christ, and what you need to do about it. But look at 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul's talking to the Thessalonians, and he says in verse 19, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing?" I'm going to get that ye word again. "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" Who's Paul's hope, joy, and crown of rejoicing? People. Not a building. Not a temple. His hope, his joy is people. People who have been saved. People who are learning the doctrines that God would have you to know today. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Learning how to operate as a member of the church, the body of Christ. That's what gave Paul joy. That's what he said, "You are my crown. You people." So our building program, yes, it's nice to have a building, and yes, it's nice to have a nice building. I can tell you that. Been in a living room, been in a nice building. Nice building is better. It's like the guy that says, you know, the rich guy that says, I've been rich, I've been poor. Rich is better. It's true. But at the end of the day, and I can't believe I just said at the end of the day, I've been trying to get rid of that from my vocabulary. Watch it today when the Browns lose again in the post-game interviews. They'll say it over and over again. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day. Our building program has nothing to do with building buildings. It's about building people, souls. We are all former enemies of God, if we're saved. Former enemies walking according to the course of this world, the children of disobedience. Now we've been reconciled to God, And now we meet together and have our meetings to not only edify one another, build each other up, teach each other, but also we want to go rescue more. We want to see other people reconciled. We want to see other people understand what the gospel is. And that is how we measure success. People. Not quantities of butts in the seats. We could do a lot of things to make a lot more people come in here. Would that be success? They're not learning what the gospel is, and they're not learning what God wants them to know today in the dispensation of grace. No, it's not success. It's more behinds and seats. We want edified people.
Well, I could tell when people, there's a lot of people. You ever heard this one? When there's a lot of people in a church, you know God's blessing it. You know God's hand of providence is on them and blessing them. I've heard that one a million times.
Anybody know a verse for that? Do you suppose that gain,
lots of people are there,
is godliness? No. 1 Timothy 6:5, from such withdraw thyself. If you think that lots of people, the NFL is going to draw more people today than any church in America. Is that godliness because lots of people are there? Is godliness happening at Joel Osteen's church today? There's 20,000 people in there. Are they learning how to rightly divide the word of truth? Are they learning what the gospel is there? No. So be careful that we measure success not in quantity, but in quality. Are you saved? Do you know what the gospel is? Great. We can work together. We can learn from each other. We can come to this book as believers. Not as Bible correctors, not as Bible fixers, but we can come to this book and believe it and learn who we are in Christ and how we're supposed to act. Look over at Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Here's our goal. This is our goal in 2017. It's our goal in 2018. Rooted and built up, or verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in what?
In a building.
Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. Get saved, learn how to walk like a saved person, get those roots deep, learn God's word, understand the doctrine, understand what Christ would have you to know, rooted and built up in Him, get the roots in the ground, then build off of that, established in the faith, and be thankful. What do thankful people do? People that are thankful, selfish, and keep it all to themselves? No. I'm so thankful. I want to tell others. I want to give others as I've been given. I mentioned 1 Timothy 2:2. It's 2:3 actually. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Souls saved and saints edified. That's people. You can do that with or without a building. We can do that in a prison cell. Can we not? Do we have a Pauline pattern for that? Having church in jail. We can do that. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. We have a job to do. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's your New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolutions match my old ones. You're not acting like the new creature much then. You need to learn to act like who you are in Christ. God hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. Ambassadors. Ambassadors do not live in their home. They don't live in their home country. They don't build temples and monuments in their own country, do they? Ambassadors work in a foreign land. That's where we're at. We're in a foreign land. How are we doing towards that goal? Nothing gives me greater joy than to hear your guys' stories when you talk to your friends and you talk to your family, when you're taking tracks out of here. I'm going to work on this guy. Love hearing that stuff. You're out there doing the work as an ambassador. You know that of anybody on the face of the planet who can tell somebody simply what the gospel is, it's me. What does that mean? I need to tell people then. That's the stuff that counts. Your six-pack will not last. I promise. Even Arnold. Seen him lately? Not exactly Mr. Olympia anymore. What will last after you get off this train? What will last for eternity? People. People will last for eternity. We just studied Ephesians 4 not too long ago. If you're a member of the Christ body, we've all got a job to do. Remember Ephesians 4:14, don't be children anymore, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The next thing it talks about in the body is grow up. Be a functioning adult in Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every part supplieth. And the end of the verse talks about the body edifying itself in love. That means we as a body all have a part to play. We all have a job to do. I need things from you that I don't have. You need things from me that you don't have. We all have a part. We all can supply one to another. So with that in mind, with people, have we grown up this year at all in understanding? Have we been rooted and established and built up at all this year on a personal level? I know I have. I've learned a lot. I've learned things this year that I didn't know or didn't quite understand or had things come more clear to me this year. Were you edified by people? Did you edify people? Those are the things that should be the center of our New Year's resolution list. Anybody feel better equipped right now to withstand winds of doctrine? Suddenly you used to think, oh, this is a wonderful book on the Lifeway bookshelf. This is great. Now you know that it's junk. Save you some money. If that's you, you feel like you've learned a lot. You feel like you've been built up and edified. That's great. I'm happy for you. Now you need to do something about it. You can supply to somebody else. You can edify somebody else in love. So, I'm about done. I made a little list in our people building edification program this year. We've studied quite a few issues. We've studied, obviously, the book of Ephesians, a good portion of it. We've talked about issues such as the silent heaven. Why can't I get God to give me what I want? Why can't I get God to fix my problems? We did a whole series called Freedom from Religion. That's wonderful. I'd love to see, as I said before, all religion on this planet end. The only thing that's left is faith in Christ. That's it. But we talked about that. We talked about how you can read doctrines in Paul's writings in Romans, and you can read doctrines in the book of James, and they don't match. They are opposite. What do you do about that? We've talked about money, tithing, tithe or no tithe, different Bible gospels, different Bible promises. We had a message entitled, Is Christ a Liar? And that deals with every wind of doctrine that's going on in our culture where you can love Jesus, but you don't have to believe the Bible. When you say that, you're making your Savior a liar. And then, of course, we've been doing the tracts series, going through all of our tracts on the pages. Last but not least, I think my favorite title of any message ever, we did two messages called Don't Catch It With Your Face. That was fun. So that is our 2017 as we move into 2018.